नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ज्योतिर् आदिर् इवावती संगतम् न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतिव कावयो अन्तरा ज्योतिरादिवाभूति संहतं न विद्विच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतिव कावयो अनन्तः ज्योतिरादिवाभूति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मैतिव कावयो अनन्तः ज्योतिरादिवाभूति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतित्वा कावयो अनन्तः ज्योति आदिर्याभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतिव कावयो अनन्तः ज्योतिरादिवाभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मैतिव कावयो अन्ततः ज्योतिरादिवाभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मैतिव कावयो अन्ततः ज्योतिरादिवाभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मैतिव कावयो अनन्ततः ज्योतिरादिवाभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतिव कावयो अन्तः ज्योतिरादिवाभक्ति संगतं न विविच्यते विदन्ति आत्मनम् आत्मस्थम् मतिव कावयो अन्तः ज्योतिर् फायर् अधिः एण्ड् अदर् एलिमेण्ट्स् इव जस्ट् एस् अभति अपियर् Shankatat from the bodies of the demigods and others. Not Vivichate are distinguished. Viranti perceive Atmanam the supersoul. Atmastam situated in the heart. Mativa, by discerning. Kavaya, expert thinkers. Anantata, within. Translation of purple by his divine grace, Sabhacharanada in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being, and an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent. Just as one can understand the supply of fire in wood, the water in a water pot, or the sky within a pot, one can understand whether a living entity is a demon or a demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. Please repeat. The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being, and an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent. Just as one can understand the supply of fire within wood, the water in a water pot, or the sky within a pot, one can understand whether a living entity is a demon or a demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Shatvam Srimad Ujitam Ivova Tat Tat Iva Dakshatvam Mam Tejom Sha Shambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. We have practical experience seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things. Whereas another, he cannot do those same things. And he cannot even do things that require only a little common sense. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the devotee's performance. Sorry. Tested by the activities the devotee has performed. In Bhagavad Gita also, long purport. So, Prabhupada's pointing out how you can see a person's tendencies by his activities, how much he's acting as a demigod, how much he's acting as a demon. So different comparisons are given to you can understand the shape of the cup by the size of the cup by the amount of water, the fire by the amount of wood, by the air in the pot. You can understand these things are contained there. So if if you see something wonderful done by devotional service, we can understand it's the the blessing of the Supreme Lord. What's wonderful, beautiful, glorious was the spring of buckets from a spark of Krishna's splendor. So when we see some great activity, some great service going on, we can understand it's the Lord's mercy. It's like we, like Prabhupada created this, you know, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Such a wonderful thing all over the world to get people to chant Hare Krishna, never even heard of Krishna before, and all of a sudden the whole, like the whole world is chanting Hare Krishna. Previously, like from India, if you went from South India, you traveled in a circle around the world, you wouldn't hear of Krishna until you go back to the other side of India, right? All those countries, all from through the Middle East and Europe and America, and then come back through the Japan and all the Polynesian islands, and then you come, nobody knows Krishna, practically the whole world. So look what Prabhupada did. He took that, first time in the history of the Vedic civilizations, that this philosophy has gone out beyond the shores of India. So this is something very wonderful. It's not that although during the reign of King Yudhisthira and other pious kings, they didn't know about, you know, the rest of the world, Europe and all that. They knew it was there, but nobody bothered to go. It's all Malachi, Yavana. What do you want to go there for? Leave the India, Bharatvarsha, and go to Malachi Deshis. But they knew they were there, but they never went there. No, uncultured people. They had the culture was thriving here in India and Bharatvarsha. And so they didn't bother, even though the people were there at that time. Bhakti Sri Maharaj one time was giving a class, and he said, the cause of India's downfall, when it was influenced by all the foreigners, comes the Mughals, the British Empire, some of these Portuguese. The reason for this falling down, losing their culture and adopting other cultures, is the fault of the sadhus. The sadhus' business is to maintain and retain and preach the philosophy of the Vedic culture. But they didn't do that. The smarter Brahmins were attached to their culture, and we don't want to deal with the Milechanas and the Avanas when they were coming over. That was their mistake. They should have preached to them and brought them up. They say, oh, they're heathens, they worship idols, or they don't worship. They're heathens. you don't know anything about real knowledge. So they didn't preach to them. They kind of just ignored them. But slowly, 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 all these different kings and everything, they got control, and then they ended up ruling India. So that was a mistake of the sadhu. They should have preached Krishna consciousness and brought them up to the highest standard. Then they would have accepted the Vedic culture, because it's so perfect. It's so, when it's heard properly and understood properly. So anyway, we can see what wonderful and glorious things that Prabhupada did by his spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is completely unheard of. So that shows, you know, how much Krishna was favoring him. Who else did such a feat like that? No one equaled Prabhupada. No one come anywhere near him. There were some devotees from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. They went to Bombay, Chaupati Temple, and they said, we want to speak to someone about you, your philosophy and your ISKCON. Prahlad Prabhu was there from Australia. So they said, we want to know something about Prabhupada and ISKCON. He said, you know, oh, Prabhupada was born in Calcutta, and you know, he started going, well, he had a hard struggle, finally he got a ticket to America, and then he established Krishna consciousness. And I said, no, we don't want to hear all this, we know that. We want to know, who is Prabhupada? he said, our Acharya is Ramanuja Acharya. Ramanuja is an incarnation of Ananta Dev, everybody knows. Vishnu Tattva, Ananta Dev. He preached all of India. He didn't preach, he couldn't, he didn't go beyond India. He's an Ananta Dev, an incarnation of Ananta Dev. Then who is that Prabhupada? If an Ananta Dev didn't go to the Western countries, who is your Prabhupada? So, this has nothing to do with partiality. When Krishna says, Tesham satata juktanam bhajatam it priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam, this indicates that Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone, but one must be capable of receiving it. That is a secret. Thus, when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, the thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to this devotee. So here, Prabhupada is saying that, what? Oh, sweet. Thank you. So, here, Krishna's even prepared to give bhakti to himself. Yeah. But one has to be capable of receiving it. So this is actually Mahaprabhu's mission. What does he come to do? He's come to give bhakti. Here is bhakti. You take to this chanting of Hare Krishna. You have to be able to receive. This is the secret, Prabhupada said. It's a secret. But Mahaprabhu's mission, he's saying, what secret? It's not secret. It's an open secret now. And here it is. Take it. It's not secret. Krishna was making a lot of demands. Very confidential. Do not preach this to others who are not worthy. Sarvadam Puritadiyajiswan is very, very confidential knowledge. Mahaprabhu said, what secret? I'm not asking even for Sarvadhanam Paritya. You can't do that anyway. I'm just giving. Take. This is my philosophy. I'm giving. Krishna Prem, Krishna Bhakti, take it. So he's just giving freely. No secret for Mahaprabhu. He's made it an open secret. So, so you just got to be able to learn to accept it. How do we learn to? This is not partiality when Krishna is saying it. He's offering to everyone. Everyone can take it. You can't say Krishna is partial to his devotees. No, he's saying here, take. Everyone can take. Nityananda Prabhu was saying here, this is Mahaprabhu's gift. You're looking for happiness. Here is the greatest happiness. You can't get a better happiness than this. Why you're working so hard, following all the different paths. Karmagyan Yoga. While you follow working hard, following all these paths, which are difficult, when you can just chant Hare Krishna and dance the next, it's easy. So, yeah, whatever you're doing in life, you're doing for happiness. This is the goal. Whatever activity you do, you want happiness. So Mahaprabhu says here. Nityananda Prabhu said, Mahaprabhu said, given you this, here is the greatest happiness. You never experienced anything like this before. And it's giving freely. So why work hard on another process? When you can get a greater happiness simply by accepting freely what Mahaprabhu is giving. This is the the whole idea of Mahaprabhu's mission. Krishna said, you surrender to me, but he saw people can't surrender to Krishna, it was too difficult. So Krishna came again, now come as Mahaprabhu, this time I'm not going to say surrender, I'm just going to say give, take. Yeah, so one has to be capable of receiving it, one has to be qualified to receive, and that qualification is simply faith, strong faith. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when Mahaprabhu was given, and Nityananda Prabhu was giving freely, many took it, but many didn't take it. So he said, let's understand, they were fortunate, those persons who accepted, they were very fortunate. Why the others didn't take it? Because they were unfortunate. He said, we should know why they did, why they also, they could not take it. And he said, because they were overly proud of their own intelligence. I'll do it my way. We're proud, we're so attached to doing it my way, because whatever I do is the best naturally. So, however I'm being moved by the modes of material nature that's at this particular time, then what I do is the greatest thing, and I'm going to get the greatest happiness. So we're overly proud of our own intelligence, and therefore we miss the secret. We miss the secret of how to being just accepting this. The gift of Bhakti Yoga, because this is what Krishna is giving, he's prepared to give Bhakti Yoga. So, this is not partial when Krishna is saying everybody, he's not being partial, but some can take, some cannot. Those who are covered too much influence by Rajagun, Tamagun, they cannot take. Those who are predominated with modal goodness, they can take. They will have a much better opportunity to take. So that's when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, the thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to his devotee. Also Prabhupada mentions that, you know, when he lost his Alalabad, he had a medical shop there, and somehow or another, he said, he believed the servants, they stole everything from his shop, and they wrote him a letter because he was in Calcutta. Oh, some burglars came, some thieves came, they took everything. There's nothing left for you. But Prabhupada said, I immediately thought of that verse, you know, when Krishna says, if I particularly favor someone, the first thing I do, I take away all of his. So you think, is it Krishna's plan? That he's taking away. he was consulting with his godbrothers. Is it Krishna's plan that this is what Krishna wants me to take sannyas? And in one purport, when Prabhupada was speaking about that incident, he said, yeah, Krishna takes away those he particularly favors, he takes everything away. They become very distressed. Two ways. First of all, he takes all their opulence away, so they're in distress. And secondly, all their relatives desert them. Nobody he has to go and beg money. Nobody likes someone who's got no money begging money. So then he's even his own relatives. They don't look after him because he's come as a beggar. So he's double unhappy. First of all, everything, he's lost everything, and secondly, even his own relatives are rejecting. Therefore, he has to take shelter of Krishna finally. Okay, I've got no alternative. Krishna's taken away everything. So Krishna says, if I especially favor a person, I take away all of his, first thing I do, I take away his possession. But Prabhupada said, actually, greater than that, if Krishna really favors, but he gives him opulence. If a person gets a, Krishna supplies Krishna so much opulence that he can use in Krishna's service, he said that is a greater benediction than when Krishna takes it away. If he especially favors, he takes away. But if he even more than specially favors someone, he gives. He said, if a person knows how to use the money, he said, then Krishna gives. And Prabhupada was more or less using his own example. How much opulence. He went to America with 40 rupees and turned into he was organizing a multi-million. So Prabhupada said the opulence was coming because we know how to serve Krishna. He said there's a so-called famous sadhu in right here in Bengal, a very popular sadhu. And he was renouncing. If ever anybody offered him money, his hands would turn the other way. It's a material attachment. So he was so renounced, his hands would turn down if anybody offered him money. He wouldn't say. Prabhupada said, fool. He said, when someone offers me money, I put two hands out and I say, give more, give more, give more. Because I know how to use money. This is Krishna's opulence. This is Krishna's property. I know how to use it. Indeed, that fool doesn't know how to use it. Therefore, he's rejecting everything. So, Krishna has bestowed his favor on particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Such a foolish person. This is not difficult to understand, but an envious person, they do not understand. They do not accept that Krishna has bestowed his favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Such foolish persons become envious and try to minimize an advanced devotee's activities. This is not Vaishnavism. A Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavas. And therefore a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Nirmatsara. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or anyone else. And therefore they are called Nirmatsharanam Shatam. So Prabhupada would talk about different personalities and these. Even his own god brothers, he said, I tried to get help. I'm having some success in here in America, but I need help. I'm all alone. Will you please help? But somehow or another, he didn't get any help from anyone. He said, my Guru Maharaj wanted an American house here in Mayapur, that people from America come and study the Vedic culture. So I want to try and fulfill that desire. So you help me get some land near the Jogpit, and I'll build an American house. And I'm making these American disciples, they can come here, and like that we can fulfill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desires. And then his brother wrote back, well, this condition, you can't. I don't know if it'll work. The foreigners are of a different culture, Americans have a different culture than the Bengalis, they may not work together. And anyway, if you do, then all the disciples will be my disciples. It's expected that they'll all be my disciples because I'm the head of the math and everything like that. So in other words, you do all the work, you all do the preaching, I'll take them as my disciples. So somehow or another they couldn't help brothers, Srila Prabhupada, they didn't help him. So there's another one of Prabhupada's god brothers. An astrologer told him that if you don't make Western disciples, after you leave your body, then this mat, your mat here, was in the, it'll just dwindle away because you should make Western disciples. So he started to preach to Prabhupada's disciples, and he started to take some of Prabhupada's disciples. So when he was asked, why are you taking Prabhupada's disciples, already initiated disciples, why are you taking? He said, oh, Swamiji has so many foreign disciples. sounds like enviousness. He has so many foreign disciples. Yeah, let Prabhupada do all the work, let him bring them here, and then I claim as a disciple. So another one said, I could have preached to those Americans, the hippies, he said, but it wasn't my sentiment. I was more inclined to preach to the aristocracy of India. And they did. They met kings, they met lords and everything. I was more concerned, inclined to preach to the aristocracy of India, of Britain, of Great Britain, and the hippies and everything. It wasn't my sentiment. He was unsuccessful, even though he went there. Prabhupada, he I'm not saying it wasn't his sentiment, but he accepted and he preached to these people. He brought them out of their sentiment. His sentiment was that they are servants of Krishna, they need deliverance. So somehow or another Prabhupada preached to them, brought them up to a higher standard like that. He was successful, Prabhupada was very successful. The others were attached to, it wasn't my sentiment. They were unsuccessful. So in all these activities we can see how much Krishna has favored, favored a devotee. But you can see by the, simply by his activities you can... You can surmise, you know, the how much Krishna has given, the devotion he has bestowed upon his devotees. Someone said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada is a great manager. That's why he was successful." No meaning, you know, he got his guru kripa, he got mercy directly from Krishna, a good manager, something like that. So they're not, they weren't appreciated, even when they, it was obvious to them. Everyone else, there was the devotees were preaching in Japan, and somehow or another they got kicked out of Japan by the, and then some of Govardhana's were saying, look, Swamiji's disciples, they went to Japan, they got kicked out, it's in the newspapers and everything like that. Oh, they caused some trouble, something like that. They've been kicked out of Japan. Criticizing. Prabhupada said, but at least we are there. We are there. Mahaprabhu's mission is every town and the village of the world. You don't, you're sitting here in Mayapur, you don't move out of your mots and spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in every town and village. When I do it, then you go, look at what he's... He's criticizing. at least we are there. We're preaching. We're trying to spread Krishna. What are you doing? You're sitting in your temple ringing bell. Kas Goswamis also will criticize Prabhupada. He's spoiling everything, giving Brahman initiation to non-born Brahmanas. Giving sannyas, allowing them to worship Shalagram Srila, a non-born Brahmana. Prabhupada said, they're the Goswamis, they're coming in Goswami caste, very high lineage. It's their duty to preach Krishna consciousness. That's their main duty as Goswamis. They don't do it. And when I do it, they criticize me. It's their duty. They're not doing their duty. When I do it, then they criticize me. Prabhupada said, he said, actually, I'm the only one who openly criticizes. Not only religionists, but anyone who falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. That means everyone. Prabhupada was criticizing everyone, not only religionists, but everyone who falls short of surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada could do that, and he did it. So this is Prabhupada's greatness. So you can see by his activities how much bhakti was manifested, how much favor Krishna showed upon, how much mercy to perform all these activities and spreading Krishna consciousness. So, Bhagavad Gita informs us how we can understand how one is situated within Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamaguna. In the examples given herewith, fire represents the mode of goodness. One can understand the constitution of a container for wood, petrol, or other inflammable substances by the quantity of the fire. Similarly, water represents Rajagun, the mode of passion. A small skin and the vast Atlantic Ocean both contain water. By seeing the water, the quantity of water in the container, one can understand the size of the container. The sky represents the mode of ignorance. The sky is present in a small earthen pot and also in outer space. Thus, by proper judgment, one can see who is a devata or demigod and who is an asura, yaksha or a rakshasa. According to the quantities of Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun, one cannot judge whether a person is a devata or an asura or a rakshasa by seeing him, but a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. A general description is given in the Padma Purana. Vishnu Bhakta Smito Doiva Asuras Tat Viparyaya. The devotee of Lord Vishnu is the demigod, whereas Nasura or Yakshasha is just the opposite. An Asura is not a devotee of Vishnu. Instead, for his sense gratification, he is a devotee of the demigods, the Bhutas, Pretas, and so on. So, thus one can judge who is a devata, who is a Rakshasha, who is an Asura, by how they conduct their activities. So, how their activities, you can judge a person. You can judge water by the container by seeing the water. I think that the Atlantic Ocean, looking out on the across the ocean, he said it's a cup of water. Prabhupada's vision. We think a cup of water is a small. Prabhupada's seeing the ocean. In fact, it's a cup, right? That's all it is. It's a cup full of salt water. That's Prabhupada's vision. Cup of water. So, so by judging the wood, you can understand the amount of fire, just like we had a bonfire the other night at New Year's Eve. Huge, big logs in the park, and huge. You can understand how big the flames are going to be when you see the wood, the size of the wood, right? And then there's a little wedding going on somewhere in Jagannath Temple, and there's a little homer, little fire, a few pieces of wood. There's a difference. You can tell by the wood, the amount of wood, how big the fire is going to be. So you can tell by a person's association with goodness, passion, and ignorance how much bhakti is there, or how much asuric tendency is there. So we can. So, the word Atmanam in this verse means Paramatman. Paramatma, or super soul, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, Antaha. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 1861, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hirideshi Arjun Tishtati. The Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, gives directions to everyone's in terms of capabilities in taking instructions. I read it again. The Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, gives direction to everyone in terms of one's capabilities of taking one's instructions. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita are open to everyone, but some people understand them properly, whereas others understand them so improperly. And others understand them so improperly that they cannot even believe in the existence of Krishna, although they're reading Krishna's book. Although the Gita says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, indicating that Krishna spoke, they cannot understand Krishna. This is due to their misfortune or incapabilities, which is caused by Rajoguna and Tamoguna, the mode of passion and ignorance. It is because of these three modes they cannot even understand Krishna, whereas an advanced devotee like Arjuna understands him and glorifies him, saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Brahmam Bhavam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode, the Purifier. Krishna is open to everyone, but one needs the capability of understanding him. Oh, so we see this is very common nowadays. Prabhupada saying, they understand them so improperly, they can't even understand, they don't believe in the existence of Krishna, even though they're reading Krishna's book. Krishna wrote the book, and they say, no, the author doesn't exist. How can the author not exist when his book's in, they're reading his book? So, just like Professor Potofsky, Russia, went to Russia to meet him. Big book professor. And so Prabhupada was preaching to him about the eternality of the soul. And Professor Potofsky said, Swamiji, after death, everything is finished. He said, big professor. And he's after death, everything is finished. There is no soul, there is no God, there is no eternality. Professor. Gets the position of a professor. What can he profess? He's ignorance. Prabhupada often used to quote Dr. Radha Krishan. He wrote a Bhagavad Gita. He had a little commentary on Bhagavad Gita also. He was a politician. He was a president at one time. Anyway, Dr. Radha Krishan. Anyway, he was a big politician. Somehow or another, due to social disturbances, he got thrown in jail, as they often do, these politicians got thrown in jail. So there he's in jail with all the criminals, and it's not a very good place, not good association in the jail. So he started pretending he's a holy person, so he started preaching Bhagavad Gita. And all the prisoners, he's a holy man, he's good. Otherwise they may have beat him up. So the opposite political party, if they were there. Anyway, whatever, they said, he's a holy man. So he was preaching Bhagavad Gita to keep himself out of trouble in prison. And then some of his followers said, we make a book of your lectures you gave while you were in prison. So they made the Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, Prabhupada often quotes this, that he's Dr. Radha Krishna. When Krishna says, Sarvadanam parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, that you surrender to me. He says, it's not to Krishna you surrender, but the unborn within, that is who we surrender to. In other words, He's my body. Krishna has no body, he has no form, although somehow or another he found some fingers to write Bhagavad Gita and he found a tongue to speak to Arjuna. But somehow or another, Krishna has no form. So it's not to Krishna, the person you surrender to, but to the unborn within Krishna. Yeah. Big, big leader. We have one devotee, his name is Krishna Abhisheka. He's doing his PhD in America, he's from Bengal. He told me when he's in the university studying, he said, there's someone giving a philosophy there on Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna says, the end of Gita, I've explained to you everything, Arjuna, you deliberate on it, and then you do what you do, want to do. So he says, his philosophy is now, Krishna is saying, so I've spoken to you a Bhagavad Gita, you contemplate it, you think about it, you know what I, and then after that, you do anything you want to do. As long as you know Bhagavad Gita, you read the Bhagavad Gita, then you can do anything you want. Now Krishna says, you can do what you want. These types of philosophy. Now do what you want. Okay, you read Gita, you know what he's saying. Okay, now do what you want. You follow him. You're convinced of it. You know? Also, Prabhupada often used to quote Mohan Gandhi Ji, Mahatma Gandhi in India. He was preaching Gita. He would have a Gita. He would his meetings and everything. Trying to get the British out. That was his main function. He used to hold the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "This is a book of peace. This is our book of peace." Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, such a fool. He said, the Bhagavad Gita has been spoken on a battlefield. There's a battle going on. He's holding up and saying a book of peace. This shows his intelligence. Book of peace. But that Prabhupada said, never one time, he's holding Gita, never one time did he say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Never one time did he say you are the eternal servant of Krishna. Never one time did he say you should surrender to Krishna. But he's using Krishna's book. Using Krishna's authority. They all do that. It's all Krishna's book. They all use Krishna's book because Krishna's book is so authoritative. Everybody accepts Gita. So they all write their commentaries. It's all Bhagavad Gita, but it's my commentary. But they're all using Krishna's name. And Krishna's book and Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita to present their own philosophies. Plagiarism, is it something? We don't mind writing they want to give an explanation for that. They should call it Dr. Radha Kishan Bhagavad Gita, Aurobindo Bhagavad Gita, something like that. Aurobindo Gita, no, not Bhagavad. Aurobindo Gita, Dr. Radhakrishnan Gita. Let them put their name there, but why they're putting Krishna's name there and presenting a different philosophy? If they want to present a philosophy, it's okay. But make their own Gita. Let them speak on their own Gita. Why you use Krishna's name? They can't defeat Krishna's philosophy or anything about Krishna, but so let's use his fame to promote our own philosophies. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown, according to one's attitude. This is not partiality, it is a response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata Asura, Yaksha, or Rakshasa, Krishna's quality is proportionally exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's powers is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality. But actually, it is not such a thing. Krishna is equal to everyone according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna. And according to the ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur gives a practical example in this connection. In the sky there are many luminaries. At night, even in the darkness, the moon is extremely brilliant and can be directly perceived. The sun is also extremely brilliant. When covered by clouds, however, these luminaries are not distinctly visible. Similarly, the more one advances in Shatuguna, the more his brilliance is exhibited by devotional service. And the more one is covered by Rajoguna and Tamoguna, the less visible his brilliance, for he is covered by these qualities. The visibility of one's qualities does not depend on partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is due to the various coverings in different proportions. So as we become uncovered from Shatrugun and Tamagun and Rajagun, that much Krishna will be revealed, that much he can reveal. But we have to understand that, just as Jiva Goswami says, when he started to write his Shandarvas, that before we start this study of Shandarvas, understanding the truth of Krishna and everything, we have to have the understanding that Krishna is incomprehensible. Then we start to try to comprehend him. But it begins with us accepting that Krishna is incomprehensible. So then he goes on to describe how we can comprehend Krishna to some degree or another. But that's the basic understanding. Krishna is incomprehensible. How we can ever understand him? But the devotees like to hear about these wonderful activities and pastimes. So they can, whatever Krishna reveals, that much you can comprehend. Whatever Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that much more than that we cannot comprehend. So, if Krishna was comprehensible, then there wouldn't be much special about him. Everyone's comprehensible. If Krishna's also comprehensible, it's not very special. So when people say, oh, it's all fantastic stuff and all this, then it's all like, it's all unbelievable, and the Lord assumes the form of a pig and a tortoise and gigantic, boy, it's all... But if it was easy to understand Krishna, then there wouldn't be much... You expect Krishna to be something very extraordinary. Once something very wonderful is going to be there. Who else can take the form of a fish and swim around in the universal devastation to save the Vedas? But you can expect it. If there is God there, you can expect something wonderful to happen. It's not that, oh, it's all super fantastic. No, you can expect it. If it's not super fantastic, then it's used to being God. So, like Father, like Son, Prabhupada was like that. It's very unpredictable. And Prabhupada once said to him, Prabhupada, everywhere we go out, there's always an incident. Something happens, there's always some incident takes place. Prabhupada started laughing. Yeah, Prabhupada is saying that. Wherever we go, there's always some incident. Something uncommon happens. It's like Krishna. devotee or so like that. Something always uncommon used to happen, some adventure would happen, and many stories you've read of Prabhupada. So you can expect it from Krishna, you can expect it from his devotees sometimes. So another example is given in Krishna book, how the birds are flying in the sky. Now you've got the eagle, he goes very, very high, and the sparrow is just hopping around, and the sparrow, he can't get up that as high as the eagle. So you can't blame the sky for that. You can't say, well, the sky is, that's, you're not being partial, because you let the eagle fly high and the sparrow is hopping around the ground level. But it has nothing to do with the sky. It simply has to do with the flying abilities of the birds. The eagle has a bigger flying ability. He can go high, the sparrow doesn't. There's nothing to do with the sky. The sky is not partial to the eagle. He is impartial, but according to the ability of the bird, then one flies. So it's according to the ability of one's freedom from the modes of material nature, then one can fly higher in the sky or understand much more about Krishna. So, Prabhupada finishes the purport. Thus, one can understand how far advanced in terms of Shatagun and how much he is covered by Rajagun and Tamagun. So this is a check. We can check ourselves how much of our activities, thinking, feeling and willing is going towards in Shatagun and how much is in Rajagun. We can see the, how much we are demon, how much we are devotee. You can test. So how do we become free from all these sinful activities? We have to. This is the purpose of dharma. Dharma is to elevate one from Tamagun, Rajagun, Shatugun. This is the purpose of the Vedic culture. The purpose of following Dharma is to elevate persons to the highest position of life. So when you're in a higher mode, then you get the opportunity, if you're fortunate enough to meet a devotee, then you can receive that bhakti lata beach. You can receive the seed of devotion. This is the whole purpose of it. Because you won't get Krishna by being dharmic alone. Krishna is not conquered by dharma. But if you are dharmic and keep yourself pure, when you meet a pure devotee, if you are fortunate enough, then you can take advice, you can take his advantage of his association, of his words, of his instructions. So this way, by being performing dharma, one becomes purified, but then it's easier to receive the grace of Krishna. So, but we can, the judge here, the demigods, is more in the mode of goodness, so he'd be saying, I like dharma, I don't like adharma. Whereas the demon, you can see his attitude is, I like adharma, I don't like dharma. So what's the difference? They're both they're both on the platform of accepting and rejecting. Raja Dvesha, this is the position. The living entity accepting one thing, rejecting another. So accepting, I like dharma, I don't like dharma. I like adharma, I don't like dharma. It's the same thing, it's still the accepting it, both on the platform of accepting and rejecting, the demigods and the demons. They're both doing the same thing, accepting and rejecting. And both these things, dharma, adharma, they're both within the modes of material nature. Krishna is beyond the the platform of of the modes of material nature. Devotional services on the platform of bhakti. That's the secret that it's saying here. That's the secret. Devotional service takes you out of the modes of material nature. Dharma, adharma keeps you bound up. You get bound by adharma in the mode of goodness. You take birth again and again in the mode of goodness. It's binding. So adharma is not sufficient. But devotional service, devotional activities, that's in the world of bhakti. It's not within the realm of the three modes of material nature. So this is what is recommended, that we're always absorbed in our service. Then we can actually transcend the modes, understand how to transcend the modes of material nature. Brahma Bhuya Kalpati, one who's fully absorbed in devotional service, well, he at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman, beyond the influence of material nature. So this is the platform of devotional service. So therefore we can understand how far advanced we are in terms of the Shataguna and how much we are covered by the Rajaguna. So this was Mahaprabhu's gift, the beginning of the Purple Prabhupada said, Krishna is here, Krishna is giving bhakti, he's giving bhakti. So we simply have to take that bhakti. We take it in the form of devotional service. And we absorb ourselves in devotional service. Then we become actually free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Whether it's dharma or it's adharma, the devotional service is the platform of bhakti, our natural position. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. Not late. Hare Krishna.